It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo! South America! Australia! France! Germany! UK! Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, for some reason or another, we have a little technical difficulty with the head-on live stream. Give me a moment, please. There. Okay. Yes. Good. And now everything should be wonderful for this Friday broadcast, the 10th day of January, 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, well, it's my last broadcast for a week. Because next week is Hell Week, as it were, with the dress rehearsals and the production of The Lion in Winter, I won't be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of next week. So, there will be, however, as I understand it, scintillating reruns of the program available for your enjoyment. Hey, CC and Dave, howdy to the early arrivers to the Facebook video stream. Yay, thanks for popping by. Like I said, let's see, well, oh, and further fun. Well, no, let's take care of business first. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, because it is the listeners, you, the community, who keep this on the air and have done so for, yea, verily, so very long. So we like to thank our, me and that mouse in my pocket. I like to send out thanks to our subscribers at the beginning of every program. And then, of course, thanks go out to the a la carte contributors through the course of the evening. So thanks go out this evening to our 10th of the month subscribers. It's a little thin this time of the month. But thanks very kindly to Daniel and Judy and Don. Thank you very much indeed. And taking the weekly fundraising goal down this afternoon and yesterday evening, thanks to Todd from South Carolina, Stan, and thank you to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you all very kindly indeed. That's how we do keep all of this going, this little attempt at non-capitalist, independent, unbiased, uncorporate influenced broadcasting. Yes, yes, indeed. So thank you very kindly. And just so you'll know, finishing the week, we are at $630 to go this evening. The program's only 2 hours because, well, I have to be at the theater here fairly shortly. We're the next rehearsal we have will be in full costume and makeup and the works, all the props, everything. my sword arrived. There's no actual real sword play in the play. That just has to be there. But you know what? Let me see if I can reach this. Stand by. You know what's really handy in a sword? A hilt. Oh, camera's over here. A hilt that's actually attached to the sword and not broken off. This feels like something out of a parody of The Lord of the Rings. They sent me the sword that was broken and not hastily re-glued. Sheesh. So I'm going to try to hot glue it later this evening. Never a dull moment. Hey, Darlene in Connecticut in the Facebook viewing group. And by the way, it's Friday on the Front Porch. So the link for joining the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable is up at headon.live. If you'd like to chime in on our end of the week group discussion, well, just go there and click yonder link. Brother Deacon Asa assures me that the streams are hot like a Nigerian scam dupe. Very good. Well played. Early cowbell for Brother Deacon Asa. So, where do we start? Well, obviously, $630. It would be great if we could get a good start on that at the beginning of the program, so that I'm not sweating that over the, and we don't come back to the, I don't come back to the program with some godforsaken hole. But yeah, $630 to start the program, and well, at least it's working out where the weather won't take down a show. At least not this one. No. I've been watching the weather all day because it looks like things are going to get interesting again. Yeah. Thank you very kindly, Steve. In New York, loud and clear. You must have gotten the new flageolet Knutton valve under control. Yeah, I did. The flageolet was not properly interfacing with the Knutton valve. Steve understands these things. Mm-hmm. Steve says, I'll try to get on the porch tonight. Tons to talk about. So he says, I need to leave the office, however, quite soon and give my newly diagnosed diabetic cat his insulin. Jesus. Never a dull moment. No. So anyway, one of the things I found interesting in perusing the news this afternoon. Okay, got to get rid of that sound effect because I can't turn it off and keep it off. It's one of the things that goes with the territory with the chat room. Pop on by the chat room if you'd like. Jimmy's there, early arriver. So is Roger and Squeaky. They'd be happy to see you. Pick out a screen name and a password. Pop right in. Be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. Capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space this afternoon to become Man Cave. No, one of the things that I found more, one of the interesting things I found in the course of my reading today was the column that Paul Krugman wrote at the New York Times recently. He's fairly reliable. In terms of being able to take him to the bank. And he decided to do a column about the climate emergency. You know, we don't call it climate change anymore. Climate change is like a different pair of socks. The climate emergency is what's going on. Australia is the climate emergency. California wildfires are climate emergency. Wildfires in the Amazon, climate emergency. They've happened, as Krugman notes, all through time, but they are getting more frequent, more intense, and they are of longer duration with greater greater impact. You know what else is a sign of the climate emergency? tornadoes in the Deep South in January. I'm this close to turning the air conditioning on here because it's 70 degrees outside and it's not going to get much below 65 tonight. And there's a great band of weather swooping up across the Gulf Coast and moving southwest to northeast. And so probably along about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, if not sooner, we'll probably have all kinds of tornado watches and warnings here. And no, it's not typical. Ordinarily, growing up here, you'd expect to see your tornadoes in March and April as the world warmed up. In the Northern Hemisphere. But January? 70 degree January? And by the way, in the hills and hollers of almost level west by Cold Trump, Virginia, tomorrow, Agnes tells me it's going to get up near 70 there. A little bit more in the way of the hills and things to interfere with tornadoes than there are down here. So we're gonna be rehearsing tomorrow morning. I'm gonna get up and make biscuits and gravy for everybody and take them over to one of our cast members' house, who also happens to be the proud owner of a not just a basement, but a real live, no kidding, honest to God storm shelter. Now, what's the line from the Donald Fagen song? It's just a dugout that my dad built in case the Russians decide to push the button down. Yeah, well, that kind of dovetails with that WKRP episode of years and years ago where Les had to open up the emergency broadcast system packet that was originally designed for emergency announcements when the Russians attacked, and wound up warning the WKRP listening audience about what to do if they see one of the godless communist tornadoes. Krugman himself said, in a rational world, the burning of Australia would be a historical turning point. After all, it's exactly the kind of catastrophe climate scientists long warned us to expect if we didn't take action to limit greenhouse gas emissions. But the world isn't rational. In fact, Australia's anti-environmentalist government seems utterly unmoved as the nightmares of environmentalists become reality. And the anti-environmentalist media, the Murdoch Empire in particular, has gone all out on disinformation, trying to place the blame on arsonists and greenies who won't let fire services get rid of enough trees. He continues and said, if a nation in flames isn't enough to produce a consensus for action, if it isn't even enough to produce some moderation in the anti-environmentalist position, what will? The Australia experience suggests that climate denial will persist come hell or high water, that is, through devastating heat waves and catastrophic storm surges alike. Because, as is often the case, if the United States sneezes, the rest of the world gets the flu, and we tend to export some of our worst ideas and impulses. In this case, you know, there's a story in the news today about a boy in Mexico who shot himself and his teacher at school. And, of course, Canberra, Australia, has the same disease that we do here. We have a surfeit of stupid people who cannot comprehend that science is not trying to assault their religion or how they feel about the sweet baby Jesus. Science is merely observing the natural world and describing what it sees and forecasting the impacts of those observations. That's how we know what the climate emergency is and what we can expect from it. But not the deniers, not the morons. Certainly, not the maggots. over in the chat room, Original Sailor Chick, says it's in the 60s here in Virginia. Going to be 60s and 70s for several days here. And if it weren't for the fact that it's so goddamn dangerous, you'd look at that and go, what's to argue with? But this is the kind of thing that will eventually lead to what Krugman refers to as barreling down the road to hell. Yeah. He observed further in his column, very few of the people still denying the reality of climate change, or at least opposing doing anything about it, will be moved by further accumulation of evidence or even by a proliferation of new disasters. Any action that does take place will have to do so in the face of intractable right-wing opposition. Because, of course, it will. So I will, if you watch my social media, if you follow me on Twitter, Facebook, I tend to post food porn pictures in Instagram, but there too. I'll update through the day tomorrow, and we'll see how things shake out. But right now it's downright uncomfortably warm here in this room. And it's not because of the heat coming off of all the equipment. No. Whew. Yeah. So, just something to ponder as we begin the program. And since we've only got a two-hour program this evening, I thought it might be good to... go ahead and connect to the Skype group and hope that Skype stays up and doesn't crash like it's been doing with me lately. And we'll get the Friday on the Front Porch conversation going as quickly as we possibly can. No, Darlene, there are no cod pieces. Darlene in Connecticut says, well, considering that it's a period play and you're brandishing swords, then there must be cod pieces too, Bob, as a fashionable Dem and to protect the family jewels. I know, I'm terrible. Fortunately, we're not that far. It's 1183, so cod pieces and such haven't come into fashion. Just the raw steel. So that. Winter weather, asks Lee in New York. Forecast for New York City, tomorrow's predicted high 63, Sunday's predicted high 66. Where is Senator Inhofe's Snowball? That's a great back reference, hence the cowbell. As for South Carolina, Stan, David therein says, it'll be 80 degrees here Saturday night with thunderstorms and rain. They usually blow out before reaching us. Our major problems usually come from the east. Yeah. Yeah, I think usually is going to become a worn-out word in favor of used to as we begin to experience the new normal that is the climate emergency. Yeah. Thanks, David. Hunker down. What's next? Asks Steve in New York. Forgetting to rake the forest floor. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Southwestern Wisconsin's been in the 40s all week, Flavio reports. Normally it's below zero and there's snow on the ground this time of year. There's zero snow on the ground. It's friggin' January. Kind of makes you wonder, yeah. But you know... Then the pendulum will, that's the nature of climate change. Then the pendulum will swing all the way back hard to the other side. And, you know, February may be just a frozen hellscape. Yeah. So, no telling. Interesting ruling today. coming out of Washington, D.C., or no, New York, Nitwit Nero tried to get the defamation lawsuit that E. Jean Carroll filed against him dismissed. His lawyers, his pettifoggers, pleading, New York's courts lack jurisdiction to hear the case because I was not in New York and did not live in the state when I made the comments that Ms. Carroll says defamed her. Because after E. Jean Carroll reported how the sexual predator in the White House had tried to sexually assault, rape her in a department store, he talked shit on her and thinks that he's above the law. Here's the thing. Justice Doris Ling Cohen of the State Supreme Court in Manhattan, which is the trial court for all of this, ruled Mr. Trump failed to provide anything, not even a tweet, much less an affidavit, to support his position beyond his lawyer's statement that the President of the United States has resided in the White House for the past 3 years. So she said, motion denied. Proceed to discovery. And I imagine that's been enough to probably make him shriek and howl and scream like the maniac barbarian that he is. So that's just a start. And if we go to the front porch now, then that means we've got a good chance of carrying the conversation on for about an hour and a half. Hey, Sparky, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
Hot diggity. Well, at least you're not looking at tornadoes.
No, I'm just looking at cloudy skies. It's supposed to rain tonight.
Well, as long as Lassen or whichever or Shasta doesn't erupt, you're in good shape.
Oh, Lassen's closer. Lassen's the only one that's active. I can't even see it today.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shasta is an extinct volcano, but Lassen is still alive and kicking, right?
Right. They got active volcanic activity up there.
Yeah, I imagine they've got some seismometers up there, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got bubbling mud pots, and they got a place up in the park called the Sulphur Works.
Wow. It
stinks like rotten eggs.
Yeah, okay. So, who's that in the chat room saying there are steam vents on Shasta as well?
Not that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was Roger. So oh, by the way, thank you for sending that image along, Sparky. That thing's forever seared into my brain.
Well, I sent you the antidote.
I know, the bleach, yes.
That was cute. Kittens and little puppy dogs. And
sure, yeah, that makes everything better. Oh, I saw something that was moderately interesting just before airtime. There was another thing that went on in the courts recently, today, as a matter of fact. The Trump regime, via the United States Solicitor General Noel Francisco, imagine being a human being so horrible, so utterly a moral and ethical vacuum that you would be willing to be Solicitor General for Donald Trump. They went running to the Supreme Court, begging the Supreme Court not to expedite the Affordable Care Act lawsuit out of the Fifth United States Circuit Court of Appeals. And I found that kind of interesting because basically what happened is the Congress and the Democratic Party are asking the court to expedite the ruling now, when in fact, if they just let it continue, it could be a much better political tool, especially if the maggots win. That could run Republican senators right out of the Senate, kicking tens of millions of human beings off of their health care. But instead, the Democrats are behaving like the well-being of the people is actually more important. And that's significant. And so they want it ruled on. They want it over with. And they want to protect the ACA. But lo and behold, the Maggot administration has run to the Supreme Court saying, please, 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 please don't expedite this case, because we'd like the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to get to muck around in it a little bit longer and maybe take health care away from tens of millions of people.
Yeah, but can they do that if it's under appeal to the Supreme Court?
Well, there was a ruling that the Fifth Circuit bounced it back to the trial court, and so they could wait for the trial court to rule, then it goes back to the Fifth Circuit again, and then it goes to the Supreme Court. And the Democrats are saying, no, 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 let's just expedite this and do this so that we can have some closure and some finality on it. Of course, the question is, can you count on people like old Balls and Strikes Roberts and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas and shoot him in the back of the head Sammy Alito and Ann's boy Neil and, of course, Brett Kavanaugh to protect the health care of the tens of millions of American citizens?
Yeah, but even if it goes to the Supreme Court now, they won't render a decision until June, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it, probably roughly the same time that they issued the first Affordable Care Act decision back in late June of 2012. So
it would still make it look bad if the maggots win for them senators and
oh yeah, the Trump administration is trying to do is push it out past the election, so that it wouldn't even be available for decision in the term that ends on June the 30th. It would be out there maybe in the January term of 2021. Because they're mortally afraid of what might happen to them if it's happened already. It's happened before, arguing that the entire Republican Party was trying to kill people by taking away their health insurance. Was, you know, that was a component of what happened with the blue wave in 2018.
Yeah. Well, you can't deny it. They were.
Well, but they did deny it. I mean, it's what they do. I mean, just by way of a sort of oblique example, good old Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins ran out to the first camera he could see, got it pointed at him, and accused Democrats of being in love with terrorists because we're asking questions about how sleazy the process was whereby we got back into the assassination business. Democrats are in love with terrorists. And then he sent out a fundraising email after having done that and said, I will not apologize. And the email had a bunch of anti-Democrat sleaze in it. I'm sick of it. Our president acted to secure our nation, and we should not be ashamed or apologize for putting America first. And then there was the big ask. And then shortly thereafter, he apologized for saying what he did. And now the maggots are all mad at him. Yeah. He's apparently a rhino sissy now. But he realized that he'd kind of opened up a can of hornets when Tammy Duckworth of Illinois immediately responded to him, said, I left pieces of my body in Iraq and I'm a Democrat. And since Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins is just a preacher with a law degree, he really didn't have a comeback for it. So, you know, there you go. Let's go.
Like this scurry and hide.
Yeah. So, Billable Rick, are you roundabout? Might be too early in the day for Billable Rick.
He's in the group, but I don't know what's going on. He might be doing something billable.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's what I'm saying. We're in the middle of the billable day, so it might very well be the case. How about you, Roger? Welcome back to the home of the free and the land of the brave.
Yeah, well, it was kind of nice to be away from all the crap for a while.
Yeah,
hello,
are
you there?
Yeah, you just kind of put it. You got to put it aside, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really kind of nice. I was pretty much super isolated. I did catch you a few times, but I wasn't watching any TV, and the only stuff I got was from you or Tom or Stephanie was in the hospital doing her surgery thing, and
Stephanie,
so it was kind of mellow.
Did Stephanie have surgery?
Oh, she apparently had some face tuck or something like that, done nose job or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But she took some vacation. Before she had it done, she had the plastic surgeon on for a chit-chat about plastic surgery, and then she was going to do a Christmas vacation, and I haven't seen the show or really listened too much. It's kind of hard to keep up with when the time shift, you know, you shift from coastal Pacific coast to Eastern Standard, and instead of listening, you know, like from you normally 3 to 6, all of a sudden you're on from, well, let's see, 3 to 6 normally here. Now Eastern Zone, you're what? Not 2 to 5. It's,
I mean, 5 to 8. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. And so with family dinners and all the rest of the stuff, it kind of really confused my ability to partake in my habits of radio. But it was a good trip. Ate a lot of really good food.
Coconut crabs, right?
No. But I had ceviche and conchas negras, which is black scallops, and anticucho, which is a barbecued beef heart.
Ooh, yummy.
And just, you know, all kinds of, lots of chicken, because that's their main protein down there in Peru. And I got to go visit Corral, which is a 5,000-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhat recently discovered, like in the last 25 years, settlement where they have yet to find any weapons of war.
Right. No, nope, not even any wall, not even any defensive walls, right?
No. And then they have yet to find a cemetery. They have found a couple of bodies, but not a cemetery kind of number. And they have yet to find any latrine-type evidence for any kind of archaeological digging in the latrine to try to figure diet or anything of that sort. And clothing, they're interpreting from unglazed clay figurines that they've found, but they're not glazed, and so there's no color and that kind of thing. There's just like some headdress type adornment, and they presume just kind of sack-like clothing. Everybody seemed to wear a garbage bag with head and armhole cutouts kind of number.
Yeah, it was a woven affair, right? Kind of a tunic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other really interesting thing I found was that it's usually considered that the Inca, the quipu, I think it's called
the quipu, yes,
the knotted rope accounting system.
Yeah,
that was always attributed to the Inca. They found a couple of them in Corral. So it appears that the Incas weren't the inventor. They just refined an existing method of accounting.
Quipus fascinate me because it's not just a method of counting. It's not like a tech. It's not just a textile abacus, if you will. There's more modern interpretation on it based on original and primary sources from the time, that indicates that those things were actually writing.
Yeah, there were dependent upon
how the knots were turned and how they were tied, and the colors conveyed meaning, the length conveyed meaning, so that you could tell an entire story just by tactilely reading the knots, kind of like Braille, I guess, in a way.
Well, there's some historical references from the very early Spaniard influence that wrote down in Spanish what they were told by the people in Quechua who were reading them and telling the Spaniard conquistadors what these things meant. And so there is some historical translations of them, although they're very, very sketchy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the fawnskin books that bark and fawnskin that the Spanish destroyed huge mountains of in Mexico. Once it's gone forever. And anybody who knows what it might have said or what kind of meaning might have been conveyed, once they're gone, it's gone too. Language turns out to be a rather fragile thing, especially written or recorded language.
Well, there's not really similar, but the people of Micronesia have what they call stick charts. And because they were skilled navigators of the open ocean, they were able to read the reflected waves off islands and the predominant wave of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and created charts made out of split wood tied together with little cowrie shells on them to identify islands. And these were the charts that the navigators took with them and used as a method of passing down information to train the new navigators for the ocean-going canoes.
Yep.
Fascinating. I've got one hanging in my bedroom that I got when I was out there. Just fascinating stuff.
Oh, it absolutely
primitive
is.
People actually recorded history.
Hey, well, it kind of makes you revisit the idea of what exactly primitive means. It's kind of like the word prehistory. If you think about it, it means what prehistory means is that no white people had written about it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, history didn't exist before somebody wrote it down.
Well, and in particular, before the colonialists took note of it. I had a note from Ron in Raleigh. Well, we do love our terrorists. Henry Kissinger, Elliot Abrams, John Negroponte, Dick Cheney, just to name a few. None of these men are in the dock at The Hague. So, yes, we do love terrorists. Only, well, I mean, those are all pretty much Republicans. Another thing that broke just before airtime, and how about this? When we decided to get back into the assassination game with Qasem Soleimani, apparently we also launched an airstrike in Yemen to take out someone by the name of Abdul Reza Shalai, who was also part of Iran's Quds force. And he has also apparently been accused of being one of the financiers of Iran's proxy wars, only, well, oopsie, we missed. So there's that. And by the way, also from the New York Times, just here in the last couple of minutes, spare a moment's consideration, please, for Dennis Muhlenberg. Probably never heard of him. But Dennis Muhlenberg is out of a job. And most of us at some point in time have been between jobs, so we know how troubling and worrisome that can be. Well, Dennis Muhlenberg had been running Boeing into the ground, along with the 737 Maxes that kept falling out of the sky. And so he's lost his job. He's probably not going to have to spend any time in the unemployment line, though, because in exchange or in return for helping to ruin Boeing or do them substantial damage. Dennis Muhlenberg is being fired and sent out the door with, wait for it, $62.2 million in stock and pensions. Yeah. Great moments in capitalism. Great moments in the not free rigged market. Great moments in the rich are very different from you and me. Note coming in from Lady B. What happens, crikey, what happens to an entire country when most of it's on fire? Wouldn't this fuck up the Australian continent's entire ecosystem? It's already affected the number of animals who live there. Yeah, it's over a billion, and a bunch of them aren't even counted, like lizards and frogs and whatnot. Lady B says, so will Australia be the first historic example of the effects of climate change? Something wicked this way comes indeed. Adding a note for Darlene in Connecticut. Thanks, Darlene. Thanks. You've started something now. Lady B writes, Bob in a codpiece. Word up. Signed, Lady, we've got provisions and lots of beer. The key word is survival on the new frontier, B. Lady B knows her Donald Fagen. Yes, indeed. It's just a dugout that my dad built.
No, that's hilarious.
Well, and thanks for getting that started, Darlene. You know, it's nice to know so there are people sorry. I can count on.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I can hear the remorse in your voice.
Couldn't help myself. I do have to, can I bitch for a second?
I would never accuse you of it, but if that's how you want to describe it, you get right busy.
Well, I am very upset and disgusted at my senators, Senator Richard Blumenthal and Senator Chris Murphy, for not backing Nancy Pelosi in withholding the articles of impeachment. I'm disgusted at them and the fact that they basically shit-canned her. And I won't speak to Dianne Feinstein. I'll leave that to our Californian members of the Horn, but I can't stand her either. But it seems like the pressure from Democrats in the Senate, including your lovely Joe Manchin, which we're not surprised about, may have possibly, you know, pushed her to say, well, we're going to, you know, send over the articles of impeachment next week.
Right.
So I'm extremely upset about that. You know, this is a typical situation where, you know, we vote for people who don't always impress or please us or make the right decisions. And I'm disgusted at what they did. And so either, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they know something we don't, but I.
No, but you see stuff like that and it makes you a little sick at the gut. You know, the fact of the matter is, Darlene, McConnell announced a couple of days ago that he had the votes to hold a trial without the documents, entertain a motion to dismiss, and just be done with it, and have it done by February 4th, so that Nitwit Nero can go galumphing into the House of Representatives chamber and spend a couple of hours doing a victory lap and spiking the ball over being impeached and then acquitted by the Senate. Mm-hmm. So they were in an ugly position. And it's possible they took the wrong decision. Oh, as for Dennis Muhlenberg, James in Illinois says, I know Dennis Muhlenberg. The prick owes me money. Probably never get it now that he's unemployed.
Well, I guess you've always said that when it comes to the Democratic Party, it's sort of like herding cats. And I guess we can count on Democrats not to really back each other when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you'll
I'm not surprised at Dianne Feinstein. I'm sort of not surprised at Chris Murphy, but I'm kind of surprised at Richard Blumenthal.
Yeah, and
You probably aren't. You're probably from a different perspective. You have the 30,000 foot view, whereas I'm stuck here in Connecticut, and I might be.
It's not a hell of a lot better from 30,000 feet, assuming that I've actually got that. So, yeah. No.
So, and what do you make of what's going on with the flight that the plane that was shot down? Now the Iranians are saying that it wasn't them.
If I had just accidentally shot my own shot down an airliner because nervous and trigger happy, and I just slaughtered a bunch of Iranians and Canadian Iranians. I mean, I had a note from Lauren out on the out in the far frozen wastes of Edmonton. She said there were 26 Edmontonians on that plane. Mm-hmm. And she was disgusted with Prime Minister Trudeau for buying in on the idea, just buying the U.S. explanation that the Iranians missiled a civilian airliner out of the sky. I freely admit that nobody is saying that this was a possibility, but damn it, we've shot civilian aircraft out of the sky before. Iranian civilian aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And under the circumstances, who's to say? I mean, could some pimply-faced 18-year-old kid in a trailer in the Nevada desert with a joystick flying the drones, could he have accidentally pushed the button and slaughtered a bunch of people in an airport? Sure.
No, it wasn't us, Bob. It was the Iranians. The video clearly shows the missile coming up from the ground hitting the plane.
See, yeah, and I agree with Sparky there. I'm thinking that the Iranians did it only because my gut is saying they don't want war with us, but I think that they might have mistook that they're on such heightened alert that they might have mistook that plane as something something from us,
yeah.
And that they accidentally, I kind of buy that, and that this is a culture that is in turmoil right now, a country that's in turmoil, thanks to the jackhole that we've got in the Oval Office right now, and he's so fucking stupid that this could be an opportunity to try to straighten things out with them and say, well, look, I don't think they really want war with us. Maybe we can try to do something to.
Yeah. That's one of the more frustrating, most frustrating aspects of all of this. Not a month ago, there were Iranians in the street protesting their own damn government, their own damn government's corruption, because let's make no mistake. That regime is corrupt, 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 corrupt. I mean,
right,
dirty as hell, because like I said the other night, all theocracies are. And so you've got a young population that would like to have a taste of something that feels like freedom,
right,
or however they define it. And now they've been driven into the tender and loving arms of the Ayatollah.
Correct. This was a huge blunder because I believe that the Iranians actually like Americans and our culture, and they've protested their government in the past. And I think of that woman that was killed, that Iranian woman, and I can't remember Sparky might remember what that was about, but they've protested their government. The Iranian government several times, and this kind of trying to improve relations with Iran, I think, needs to rise up organically, which is, I think, what John Kerry saw, and I think that that's what.
Well, yeah, we were on the road to that
Trump backed out on.
Yeah, we were on the road. We were on the road to that with the Iran agreement. They were complying. We were doing what we were supposed to be doing.
They were complying, and it was meant to be a first step. I believe that it was meant to be a first step. That was it was going to take time, to you know, to do that. And he's so stupid. Trump is so stupid. And of course, I think John Kerry recently he was on the news recently. And he basically called he came right out and said, you know, Trump is lying. Something about Obama, and I can't remember the specifics of it, but he, you know, they looked to him because I think he busted his ass to try to get this agreement in place. And the lady from Canada who you were mentioning, who mentioned about Edmonton.
Yes, that Lauren.
Lauren, and I have a dear friend who, is going to become a resident of Canada. She's United States expat, but I'm heartbroken over what happened with the 63 Canadians. And I think I want her to know that this is horrible. This is horrible. It's upsetting. And,
Okay. That's on me. For some reason or another, I cannot for the life of me, Skype just crashes. When it feels like it, I don't know why. That's bizarre, but I'm waiting for it to reload. In that interval, however, I will note that we are almost an hour into the program. It's only 2 hours this evening. We started with a $630 fundraising goal, and we are still at $630, and going into taking a $630 fundraising hole into a week of no broadcasts is not the greatest way to keep independent progressive radio on the air. So if we could take a bite out of that, two, four, anything, just get that thing cut down, it would be huge. And for some reason or another, Skype is not... cooperating. Let's see here. Blagstag and not Paul Frazelak and Mertlack. So let's see if it'll let me join the call. Yeah.
Yes, like a zombie.
Okay.
They rolled back the EPA things and they had the dudes with the gallon cowboy hat standing around them. He looked like a monster.
Yeah, he looked physically absolutely horrible. Ill.
Yeah.
He looked absolutely horrible. So, I mean, you know, I think all this pressure, even though it appears it doesn't get to him, it probably does. And it's affecting the guy's health, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I came back in medias res because Skype crashed on me in the middle of what Darlene was saying. So I apologize for that.
And I called her Nancy. Apologize. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Darlene. Hey, I've been called worse.
It's been a long
time. Wait. What's the line? Her name was McGill, but she called herself Jill, and everyone knew her as Nancy.
Okay. I owe her an apology.
That sounds like a Warren Zevon lyric or something, Bob.
Nah, it's the Beatles, Billable. That's okay. Rocky Raccoon.
But I was just saying that I am heartbroken over what happened with that plane getting shot down, and I have friends in Canada, and I'm just heartbroken over it. So that's all I said.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it was so predictable because, you know, Trump's, you know, bellicose rhetoric and actions had basically caused them to, you know, go into DEFCON 5, so to speak. And, you know, somebody got scared and figured, oh, we better shoot this thing down because, you know, they're trying to attack Tehran or whatever.
Well, this is interesting. I just got a note from David in South Carolina, Stan. Those missiles are triggered by a friend or foe signal from the airplane. How do we know that the plane's electronics were not hacked and the friend signal switched off, or the actual missile batteries can be hacked and remotely controlled? Just saying that Vlad has a history of firing on civilian aircraft.
Exactly.
The Malaysian plane in 2014 was shot down over Ukraine in 2014 by Russian forces. This happens to be a Ukrainian airliner, and planes took off before and after this crash and didn't get shot down.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Wow. So,
wouldn't put a password in the boot, you know?
Exactly, Rick. That's what I was thinking. Wouldn't put it past him.
No.
Oh, and by the way, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says Boeing's hiring for a new position. They're right up the street from me. I'll go and drop off my resume. Well, Jimmy, remember the horn when you get fired and get your $62 million stock package, will you? Oh, and it wasn't Jill. James in Illinois reminds me. Yeah. She called herself Lil.
Lil.
And everyone knew her as Nancy.
Knew her as Nancy. Yeah. What a nice name. I like the name Nancy. I got to dig myself out of this hole. Bob!
Hi, Steve. How are you, buddy?
Hey, raw dog codpiece. What's happening, man?
Hey, there you go.
Steve, are you saying that you don't like the name Darlene?
Oh, I love the name Darlene. It's Darlene. You know,
just keep digging, Steve. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Raw dog. Yeah. And hey, like I said, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we got $630 to raise this evening, and we've made it through the first hour of the program, and we're still at zero. So there's that. But Agnes sent
me. Bob, yes. I'll be there for 20. All right.
Okay,
so that's 610. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. And thanks to Ms. Karen and Little Cletus and Little Twiggy, because I know Little Cletus does a lot of digging.
Yeah, well, we got to put this one on Karen. She hit pretty well on a scratch off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I'll throw in $100 challenge, however you want to work it.
Well, I mean,
shall
we be generic, Darlene, and just call it a sorority of lean fuck Trump challenge?
That sounds good.
The sorority of leans.
I love that.
The sorority of leans says fuck Trump. Okay, so
I don't know if you want to make that a $120 challenge, or if you want my 100, like 20 of my 100, to meet Steve's. I don't know. However you want to work it.
We'll give Steve pride of place for getting us started, and then we'll put your $100 challenge on the table, and let people respond to that.
Bob, I'm going to miss you next week, man.
Oh, I'm going to miss you guys like crazy. And if I could figure out a way to do this program and have my head in a place to do the show an hour later, but I can't make it work.
Well, you're not Karnak the Great.
It's pretty damned intense. And once you move it, you know, getting into costume and putting the makeup on, and just the jitters and the jumpiness and the sick at the stomach. I'll probably throw up a little bit before the thing starts, for all I know.
You need to focus. That needs to be your focus, sole focus for that night. I totally
It'll be a hoot, man.
Although it would be fun to see you on Facebook all costumed up and with all your makeup up and your props and stuff. You know, that would be wild.
Yeah.
Well, there will be some photographs. There absolutely will be some photographs.
Do you think you're going to be able to do the having some of the actors come to the microphone and do a skit for the horn listeners, or is that sort of in the works or not certain?
No, I'm hopeful that we can. We won't necessarily do it live, but we'll set it up and just put it up maybe as a supplemental podcast.
Cool. So if we can get these challenges met tonight, you know, taking a bite out of that, what is it? You said $630.
Yeah.
Poll would probably be a nice weight off your shoulders.
It would be a tremendous weight off my shoulders.
Hell yeah. So have that hanging over.
Come on, Horn listeners, let's do it.
We got this. We got this.
Yes, we do, Steve. We got it.
So, you know, if we can get 10 people at $10 or 5 at 20, whatever, to respond to Darlene's challenge, then that'll take us down to 410. And so that's just a little more than a 2-day hole. God knows if we could take down the rest of that, it would be awesome. You know, we talk about so many desperately serious things here, but Agnes always is looking for the unusual, the bizarre.
And the funny.
And the stupid.
Yeah. Just thinking about Agnes.
The grifty, the grafty, the dishonest. And so this case comes out of British Columbia, where, of course, Brother Deacon Asa holds forth. I'm hoping Brother Deacon Asa doesn't, you know, well, there's no need for him to. No, this is a con artist, and, you know, this is good enough to be American. But there is some, there's some stupid alternative health, grifty, grafty shit in Canada, too. Remember the couple that killed their kid by trying to treat a disease with maple syrup a couple of years ago? It was rather high profile. They got put on trial and all of that. Well, enter Jason Klopp. K-L-O-P, Klopp. Somehow or another, by the time we're done with this story, you'll think that the word Klopp seems strangely apropos or disgustingly so. He can't do it in the United States, and he can't do it in Canada, but Jason Klopp has an alternative medicine grift that he practices in a little clinic just outside of Tijuana. And I'm just going to go ahead and do the warning. I'm going to ruin dinner in the Eastern and the Central time zones, and it probably won't do any good for the Mountain time zone or the Pacific either.
Well, hell, dinner's overrated, Bob. What the hell, huh?
Jason Klopp practices... Ah, damn it. Not again. Fucking Skype. Jason Klopp practices... Oh, let me get reconnected because this is all too much set up. All right, I think I'm back. So let's get it. Jason Klopp is what they call a naturopath. I would say sociopath or psychopath, but no, he's a naturopath. That he's into natural healing. And he thinks he can cure autistic children with, and this was a phrase I was never looking to hear or see, and now will not be able to unsee. He practices fecal transplants. Yeah, really. And he, at his little clinic south of Tijuana, with children as young as 2 years old, from all around the world, he gives them pills that are derived from the shit of two adolescent American kids.
Does it work?
Come on, Steve.
Really, Steve?
Fuck, man. Yeah, I've got stomach problems. I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd help, man.
No. That sounds totally pseudoscientific.
No, this is for autism, Steve.
So I thought it'd help your stomach.
When I come in and say, I'm going to just say it, and I'm going to go back on mute. what the entire fuck, and then I because yep. that's what I'm supposed to say.
Oh, but Tracy, it gets better. It gets
one
ever
question,
so much.
Question is this guy? Does this guy have a partnership with Gwyneth Paltrow?
If he's not on Goop, he should be. Well, you know, I mean, he's peddling Goop.
Wait, who's the other one? What's the other one? The one that feeds her, who eats her kids' food and then feeds it back to him like she's a bird.
Oh, I don't even. I don't.
The white, stupid white woman.
Oh, speaking of which, Marianne Williamson dropped out of the race today.
Oh, speaking of stupid.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, does it? Does it matter?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the punchline yet.
Oh, sorry.
If you've got an autistic kid and you want naturopath Jason Klopp to give him shit pills south of Tijuana, it'll set you back $15,000.
Holy shit.
No See? Shit, Batman.
That's some bullshit. Or is it kid shit? What is
it's getting deep in here, I tell you.
Ah.
Where's the waiter, Bob?
Yeah, tip that exactly. Don't forget to tip your server.
Try the bill. I'll be here.
And you know, right? And real doctors out there, the real doctors are saying, you know, please don't do this. No, really, please don't do this. You can make your kids really sick by giving them shit pills.
Oh shit!
But here's the problem. I mean, I have been working with autistic kids for almost 20 years now. And the desperation that parents have, I mean, I see every day these parents are fucking desperate for anything and everything that might do something for their kids. I see this. And it's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, and most parents would know not to do this, but they're those, you know, they're...
Tracy, is this... I'm sorry, Tracy.
God damn, Skype. This is getting intensely frustrating. Well, we'll be back to it in a minute. And so Darlene's Fuck Trump challenge is on the table. And hopefully will be responded to. And there's something desperately. Okay, I was gone, but now I'm hoping I'm back. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Nope, crashed again. Son of a gun. Some days you get the bear, some days the bear gets you. As for the poopy pills, Todd in South Carolina stances, Bob, that sounds like phages treatment. Phages are Russian treatments where they take part of people's poop who are sick and administer them to sick people to heal them. God. Huh? It's a medieval idea for a guy in a play about the medieval. Yeah, but by the way, it's not just pills. He's got shit liquid that he gives to these poor children. Yeah. So there's that.
Gotta underestimate the relationships that are formed. The relationships that are formed by the driver of such as you, you know, driving these kids back and forth. Because I have a friend who is a livery service driver who has formed incredible relationships with children with all kinds of quote unquote special needs. And the kids just, they grow very attached to the drivers such as you and others that take them places. And you're in a very unique position to get to know these children. And yeah.
Yeah, because especially like for me, you know, my girl just got back, you know, we were off on vacation for 2 weeks. And when Monday was her first day back to school, and her mother was like, you know, Tracy, Penny was miserable because she didn't see you. And on the days that I don't, like if my car breaks down or I'm sick or whatever, on the days that I don't drive Penny, she doesn't do well because I've been driving her now for 2 years.
I believe that.
Yeah. And so, you know, these children form attachments. There was a time I have been driving some of these boys for like 3 or 4 years, and they moved me to another route. And the parents and the parent, not only the kids, but the parents, because I care about my kids. And I'm not just, you know, going to just drop the kids off and, you know, and keep moving. I'm going to make sure.
So a lot of times these,
they don't care.
This is beginning to righteously chap my ass, because this is a this is actually a fascinating conversation that's taking place. That I kind of got started with the poopy pill story. Rosa Kremalnick Brown is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Arizona State University. She actually participated in a study of fecal microbiotic therapy. And she said, no, I wouldn't do it. And anybody who's worth a damn in terms of medical knowledge says, no, not me either. Health Canada and I think Health BC are looking into Dr. Klopp.
And I know Rick is saying the same thing, you know, because of what he has to deal with his son. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, these...
You know, it's horrible.
It's an interesting context too. So driving these kids, the children are dependent on you to get them where they need to go. It's an quote unquote intimate setting. They are dependent on you to get them there safely, and depending on how long the drive is, there's a lot of time for conversation, and the kids wind up getting attached, and vice versa. And it's always heartbreaking. You know, my friend who's, she gets upset when she can't take these kids when something changes in their schedule or whatever.
And these kids are really creatures of habit that, you know, obviously all humans are, but especially those on the spectrum, they really require consistency. Yeah. And when things change on them, they can really lose it, you know? And, it's
well, imagine,
you know that from experience with your own son.
Imagine how awful.
I mean, and he's very high functioning, thank God. I mean, he's at the university now, so.
But imagine how awful a human being would have to be to prey on the desperation of these parents and say, well, if you've got $15,000, I'll pour some poop liquid down your kid's throat or cram some poop suppositories up their bottoms, because that's how they deliver all this stuff. And I'm going to do it all for the low, low Kmart price of $15,000.
Wasn't there one of these guys who was feeding these autistic children bleach, supposedly,
yes,
Bob?
Yes, there was.
I remember that story a few years back. Oh, my God.
It's within the last year, Rick. It's still going on.
Oh, is that recent?
And it's being done by a religious outfit.
Oh, God.
Now, I have heard of fecal transplants for stomach problems, and some say they do work. You know, I wouldn't want to try it, but...
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anything that requires me to go to a clinic south of Tijuana, you know, a turn left at the donkey show, no.
So that's why.
Well, typically, Rick, most kids who have Asperger's, or as they say in Britain, they call it Asperges, they're typically very high functioning, right?
Yeah, they are.
My son has, you know, they're typically very high functioning, and some kids with autism are extremely high functioning,
right,
as well. And I'm always looking at their baby and saying, oh, he doesn't smile, he doesn't this. Well, you know, maybe he's just a boy, and you know how boys are, and blah, blah, blah. It's a horrible commercial. I don't know if it's something that's government sponsored, but who's to say that these quote unquote special needs children aren't actually well ahead of the curve?
Yeah, exactly. Some of them are.
Especially. Well, see, in places like, there are some places where Asperger's is not even acknowledged as a diagnosis anymore.
Right.
Exactly. And the bullshit, right, and the bullshit with the, you know, the immunization and everything. Oh, that caused it. Ugh. You know, most of the kids, I mean, I have neighbors up the street. Their son who has Asperger's is absolutely brilliant. He's brilliant. He might be quote unquote socially awkward, but then again, that's so subjective, right, Rick? I mean, that's like,
I mean, we all can't be extroverts, right, darling? I mean, we all are
different. Right, exactly. Not all of us are. Exactly. We're all different.
Right.
And you know, who's to say what's better than I am? I'm not afraid. My office is a freaking disaster. I have like shit on the floor here because I
don't
my
tell Dr. Klopp, he'll want it.
All clogged up.
I wish
and
we
here
could
I
have
am,
an
like,
office off.
Tonight, I could totally like work. It's like, I'm probably a loser because I'm here in my office on a Friday night. But you know, some people think, wow, that's pretty sexy.
I haven't seen wood on my desk in years, man.
That would ruin the effect, right, Steve? You know where everything is.
Yeah, I would wither on the vine.
Yeah.
Double entendre, forgive me.
But I'm looking at a blessed mess myself. So.
Hey, Rick, did you guys exchange pictures? You and Darlene used to exchange pictures of your offices.
Well, we probably could, I suppose. It might.
Yeah, I could jump in on that too. God, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
The floor. I mean, walking through here is like a maze. You know?
Well, you know, when the video's working here, y'all get a pretty good. I mean, it's just me, and you know, I didn't think about it. I put on a beige shirt this evening in front of a beige wall. I'm almost like that. I'm almost like that GIF of Homer disappearing into the hedge. All you can see is my pink little head.
Billable, you posted a. I'm sorry. You posted a Billable posted a photo of him and his son. You and your son at golfing.
Recently,
I think. I don't know if it was during your birthday. Yeah, and it was a sweet photo. Your son is adorable. He looks so happy.
Yeah.
And I think that was wonderful that you took him to the driving range. You're a good dad.
Oh, well, thanks, darling. I appreciate that. It was his first time golfing, and it turns out that his mom's boyfriend is going to start taking him to the range now as well, which will be good because, I mean, the kid needs, you know, some physical exercise, and golfing is actually pretty good because you walk and, you know, swing the club and, you know, that kind of thing.
If you leave the cart at the you know, clubhouse,
pretty much everybody at this little club has carts. That's the problem. So.
Yeah, that's half the fun, though. Right?
Yeah, it is. You can still walk around. You can still walk around.
Just because y'all asked about it earlier, I have just texted one of the publicity photos for the play to Tracy.
Oh.
And I asked Tracy if she can to please post it in the Skype chat.
Okay. Hey, Bob, are there tickets available
for performances? Awesome.
Are there tickets available still?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
We're doing
not
four.
That I can make it.
We're doing four performances, and the house holds about 120 people.
Okay. Okay.
Now, how far west are you from Huntsville, Bob?
I am 72 miles west on
okay
US 72.
Yeah, we got to we got to be, you know, observant tomorrow, because typically whatever hits Huntsville hits me.
Yeah, and the way it happens here, Florence itself usually, I mean, you know, there's 125-year-old Victorian homes downtown.
Yep.
And they never get touched. But out to the west of the county and in the north of the county toward Tennessee, they touch down rather routinely. And they and south of the Tennessee.
Posted your,
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Adorable, man.
Tracy did the post that
Who is the woman?
That is
adorable.
That's the woman who is playing Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Oh. Okay, cool.
And yes, I did that while I was driving.
Ooh.
I got skills, bitches.
You're
wow,
a pro.
Tracy, you are amazing. You go, Tracy. You are a taskmaster, a woman of multitasking. That's awesome.
Well, I was at a stop sign, so.
Hey, Bob, you look really good there. You look like you're in.
Tracy, I don't know if I should scold you or praise you. You know.
bitch, you know you want to praise.
Bob. Oh yeah, you're the goddess. Yeah, you turn me on to Mary Clayton, so you get a pass. But, you know. But yeah, Bob, that's a good picture, man.
Oh, the person who shot it did a great job.
I like how they did your hair and your costume and everything. I mean, you look very, you know, like period, you know?
Yeah. Cool. There's a cloak, and when I got it and put it on, I realized it was a size too big, and B, it made me look like Jedi Henry II. It's a Jedi cloak. So there's a seamstress just around the corner from the theater, and she said, "Oh yeah, I can fix this." And I got it last night, and it looks great. She took the sleeves off of it. Awesome. She put some sort of fancy schmancy bordering on the sleeve. She shortened the cloak up to about mid shin, put a nice hem in it, and then cut slits in both sides. And
I bet you she did it in record time.
Oh yeah, she did, and she was working on the tapestries that hang from the walls too. And
you know, and thank you to Agnes, because you've obviously been away from her for quite a while. So for you to self-actualize this, you know, because you are clearly, you've got the acting bug in you that's there. You know, and you're down in Alabama and all, you know, looking into things for Ferg and everything else. And thank you to Ash for letting you go for this period of time to go do this. It's pretty cool.
we miss each other like mad.
I know.
I know. And in fact, there's a fun little backstory too. Back in 2017, when we were down here, we were in the grocery store in Publix, my new favorite grocery store. And we happened to be walking through the pets, just randomly walked through the pets aisle, and she found this little squirrel squeaky toy that was just adorable. And she wanted it. I bought it for her. And so that became Agnes's security squirrel, her therapy squirrel. As we drove through damn near a hurricane trying to get to Mobile and then New Orleans. And because of the name of this town, we named the squirrel Florence. So as soon as I got back, I bought another squirrel to keep here with me. And it's Florence's big brother, and he sent Florence with us the first time because he wanted Florence to have a good home. And so I've been sending Agnes pictures of this squirrel out playing among the oak trees, sitting in the joint between two oak tree branches, and looking through the bars on the balcony out at the other squirrels playing. And let's see, I think I sent her a picture of him eating some soup. And yes, I know squirrels are vegetarian, but this squirrel has a thing for hog jowl, so. Yeah.
Thing for hog cows.
Hey, John Brittavo.
Uncle John.
What are y'all doing in here?
Waiting on you, bro.
No, man, no. Y'all started early, and I went to go look there, and I turned on the audio there, and next thing I know, I hear people talking about shit. What are you going to do with that shit? Shove it up somebody else's ass or eat some shit? There was a lot of shit going on there.
Serious shit, wasn't it?
Concerned. My wife said, John, what's the matter? And I said, oh, honey, look at here. They're talking shit. I better go in there. I'm a specialist in shit.
Cowbell,
well, I posted that in the chat room. I hope that's okay. I probably should have asked you first, you know.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just can't put it out public because I don't think
Oh, want me to take it down?
No. That's okay. It just, you know, Flavio was saying you'll put it on Facebook. I'll put it on Facebook, Instagram, all of that as soon as I know I can.
Okay. Well, I can scrub it if you want. Just give me the word.
Okay. Well, let people have a look and then scrub it.
All right. 10-4.
Bob, do you have a new mic?
Yeah, I do.
I can tell the difference.
And I'm also
sounds good.
I'm also in a different room and using the Rode rig, RODE, instead of what I use in the studio there. So I think the audio is actually a little bit better, isn't it?
It sounds great. It does. It's a little deeper. You know.
What kind of mic is it, Bob?
This is the Rode Procaster. It's a dynamic mic.
It
looks
like a streaming mic, a dynamic.
No, it's a dynamic. It's a dynamic. It hooks by it connects from an XLR cable into the Rodecaster Pro audio interface unit, and it's tailored specifically for the unit. And the unit's got firmware inside it that optimizes it for broadcast purposes and all of that.
Damn, sound professional, Bob.
Cool, because I'm learning about different kind of mics, and I think I'm ready to graduate to a streaming mic. I'm such a newbie, and I know you and John.
You sound great,
know more about microphones
darling.
Than I do.
No, you sound great, darling.
I don't know anything about John. I have a son. That's what I have.
I have a Plantronics,
I'm using an AKG. Anybody know what AKG is?
Yeah, AKG is good stuff.
That's what I'm talking on. And Oz mixer, AUESIS.
Duncan always sounds good too. What do you use?
Yeah. Yep.
That deep baritone voice. Is he out there? He's probably watching
you
TV.
You do as well, Steve.
Well, I got the jet running.
Oh, okay.
I just use it's a Logitech headset with a microphone.
Mine's a Plantronics wireless,
Yours is wireless, Steve?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Mine.
Yeah, most are. What's convenient about mine is it's got a boom, and most do. If, I don't have to. I can mute it just by flipping up the mic on it.
Yeah, that's that Plantronics unit is the same thing Dr. Bill uses.
Oh, okay.
I have a son that mutes me every time he sees me getting ready to call. That's about as automatic as
that. Yeah, see, I got a little button here I can...
Okay.
And
I'm not allowed to touch the buttons, Bob. Not on my show.
No.
Listen to my show.
Well, see, in the real professional broadcast world, the talent is not allowed to touch anything.
I'm not allowed to touch nothing.
That's what the staff is for. You, John Brittavo, have a staff.
I have a staffer. One. Well, actually, two. My other son sits in there in the other room, he's on the computer and he moderates the chat, make sure nobody gets out of line and shit.
Right.
Don't forget the donkey.
And the donkey outside, if anybody y'all paid. Oh, I just seen her go by. She's a kicking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's bouncing around out in the front yard.
Is she frolicking, John?
She is frolicking. She wants another freaking peppermint. Lately a lot of our family members have sent me peppermint. Well, everything I got for Christmas included peppermints for my donkey.
Oh
man, I'm telling you, buddy, she's flushed with peppermints. And she
now, do you just do the little? Do you just do the little round hard peppermints, or have you tried those?
Yes.
Those what? I think they're called Bob's peppermint sugar. balls.
They're little, yeah, they're like balls, but a little point, well, not perfectly round.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah, I got some of them too. And candy canes, yeah.
Oh, that must have been adorable, the candy canes.
She's well, rotten.
And, Pop, salty balls.
Salty balls.
Well, you know, we used to.
Hey, John, how old is Jenny?
Oh, Lord, let me see. She's probably about, I don't know, about 9, 10 years old now. She's my sweetie. We got her when she was a baby.
How long did they typically live?
I don't know. She's healthy, though.
Any chance on breeding it with a horse and getting a mule out of it?
No, that's my girl, baby. No, ain't going to be no pokey pokey going on around here. I got enough mouths to feed.
The implication wasn't there. You brought it up.
Yeah. That ain't country. No pokey pokey
with my... Well, I didn't know that. You know, a mule, you have to breed a horse and a donkey to get a mule, you know.
Well, come on, John. If you breed a, at least I would be, that would be the closest I would be able to get my 40 acres and a mule. Come on, mate.
I'm telling you, Tracy's still waiting.
You love it.
Help a goddess
out. Nothing come like on. A donkey. They ain't nothing like a donkey. They're very lovable. They're sweet.
See, that's another example of the white man trying to keep the sister down. See, you see, you have the opportunity.
Hey, I went to bat for you, man. I'm white as Christmas. You know?
You had the opportunity to help a sister out. What do you do? See, you see.
I'm holding yours for you. You can come by and visit anytime you want, Tracy.
I'm not hearing you. You are now dead to me.
Like Bob said,
I'm done.
Your refrigerator gives me a suntan when I open it. You know, I couldn't get any more weight, so I tried.
I hate to do it, but you know, when we get to the Timmy down a well portion of the hole, I tend to mention it more often. So we got a $610 hole we're trying to fill in.
Whoa, Bob, that's too deep.
Yeah, that's way too deep. Darlene has put a $100 challenge on it. A $100 fuck Trump challenge. And maybe I'm just not getting the notifications through my email, but let me check here.
Did you do a phone? That fuck Trump stuff started, buddy, because it's bled over a lot of places.
So far, no responses at all to Darlene's challenge with 28 minutes remaining in the program for the evening.
You have 28 minutes. Is that all? Why are you so early, Bob?
We moved the program back. We moved the program back an hour because I came down here to Alabama to work on a play. And so we've been going from 5 to 8 instead of 6 to 9, John.
Boy, howdy. I didn't know.
And this week I've been only 2 hours because we're getting into the, this is the hell week portion of the proceedings.
I saw you on Facebook.
And now next week, no program at all. Because next week, shit.
Silent Bob.
Yeah, next week is production week. You know, dress rehearsals, and then the thing premieres on, this coming Thursday, the 16th.
Boy, honey, you're a star, Bob.
Well, far from it. But
mine should have dropped, man.
Yours did drop, good. Steve. You're the only one so far. And so we're waiting for people to respond to Darlene's challenge, and that'll at least, you know, get us down to a $400 hole.
Yeah,
come on, people, let's do this.
This is your opportunity not only to make a statement, fuck Trump, but to keep Bob's voice on the air. It's not cheap doing this shit, and you got to pay the bills and all that. I urge every one of my blue dots, if they're out there listening, to put some change up there on that. On that challenge, we all like to say fuck Trump. So, and to the Horn family, it's an important part you play in keeping Bob alive and on the air. So, time to step up, baby, and take that challenge on.
Well, thank you, John. Hey, I do appreciate it.
Yeah, John. Hey, Bob, is Bill, as Dr. Is Dr. Bill going to be on next week?
New
programming?
No, because that's the other thing. When I do get back home, I immediately have a tech crisis to solve because the computer that streams out the stream in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion started pining for the fjords a couple of weeks ago. It's probably dead. So I got that to sweat
Thank
about.
Thank you, Frontier.
I told you didn't need that Lamborghini, damn it.
Yeah. Porsche, Steve. Porsche.
Yeah, let's get it right now.
Yeah, Lamborghini, you know, if you drive it an hour, you got to work on it too. So, no, I stick with Porsches myself.
I got 25 on Darlene's challenge. Hello?
What's that, Tracy?
Thank you, Tracy.
25.
Okay, beautiful. So that's...
Oh, Tracy.
Then I'm going to... Yes, and they're going to call it, you know, 25 on that, and 25 saying that hopefully Tracy's MRI doesn't show that she's fucked up her toes challenge.
I thought that was today.
Yeah, that's today.
Oh, boy.
I'm going for MRI tonight at 7:45 this evening. Yay!
Oh, fine.
Don't move. Don't move, or they'll have to do the damn thing all over. And Jesus.
Well, the good news is, since it's my feet, I don't have to go all the way in. That part.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Hey, Tracy. Tracy. Yeah. Just in case, don't wiggle. Don't wiggle your toes. Your toes, your toes must remain completely. Your toes must remain completely still.
Always.
Oh no, no, no! I'm just going to take an Ativan just in case. I have my Ativan and a glass of water.
You need to be sedated. Absolutely.
I can't. I don't do well in tight spaces.
I don't either.
I never. I mean, it's better now that I've lost weight. Oh, by the way, I'm down 2.8 pounds. I am now at 225 pounds as of today. So now that means I'm at 225 point whatever down pounds to get down to under 200 pounds. So I'm hoping I should be down under 200 pounds by the triathlon, which is in March. Yeah. I should be under 200 pounds.
That'll be awesome.
Awesome, crazy.
And I got a
congratulations.
I got a note from Lady B here. She says Darlene started to sum up some of my feelings, so I'll finish it. Your play sounds like an awesome opportunity for you to express yourself. Enjoy. We're going to miss the hell out of you next week. I got to confess, I feel both admiration and a bit of envy. I think you love acting, and I wonder, between broadcasting and acting, which one you would choose. I think I know the answer. Anyway, break a leg, have a lot of fun, and we can't wait for you to come back the week after next. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you, Lady B. That is so, so very sweet of you, and thanks for all the support from everybody. I haven't done this in a little while, and it's a little bit like riding a bike, but, you know, it just, man, there's a lot of dialogue to memorize. You know, this isn't like film where you've got a couple of pages, you memorize them, they shoot it, and everything's out of order. Everything has to happen in order. And
oh God, you don't have anybody holding up your lines?
No, hell no. This is real. This is not dialogue.
There's no teleprompter.
There's no prompter. This is without a net. If you go up on a line, you better hope that your cast member can catch it and get things back on track.
Yep.
Oh no.
Pro at it, Bob.
I think you're gonna do great. It sounds like you and your crew are very prepared and dedicated. I think you're gonna do great.
Yeah, and
you're gonna be fucking awesome, Bob.
Fuck yeah!
It's gonna be fun one way or the other. It's gonna be a blast.
It'll be an experience. For sure. Another line on your resume there, Bob.
Hey, speaking all of, around you know, great riding guy. Bike, I didn't actually physically ride. Didn't go outside and ride the bike yet. My coach put me on a trainer. So I'm on the thing that, you know, you put your, make your for your back wheel of your bike on the trainer. So I have started that portion of the training for the triathlon. So I haven't physically gone outside to ride the bike yet, but at least I'm on a bike. And the good news is it didn't hurt my thighs as bad as I thought it would hurt. And I guess that's, you know, because of the fact that I've been working out and running and swimming and stuff like that.
Tracy, I'm proud of you, baby.
Yeah,
I weigh 170. The words triathlon are not coming out of my mouth for any reason.
What's wrong with your toes, son, if you don't mind me asking? Well, if it's too personal, don't you don't have to answer.
No. It's no big deal. Yep. What had happened was, back in November, I jumped, and I came down wrong on my right foot, and I hurt my toe. But it wasn't bad. It was just annoying.
Is it ulcerated? Neuropathy or anything like that? Okay.
So on Sunday, I did a 5K on Sunday, and I pushed myself harder because I wanted to see if I can beat my time. And I actually did. When I started doing triathlons, my first 5K back in July of last year, it took me 1 hour and 9 minutes to walk it. And then as of Sunday, I finished that 5K in 54 minutes.
Yeah,
so
you'll be fine.
I have collectively,
you'll be fine.
And so I pushed harder than I normally do. And so I was in pain. And that's the first time ever that I've ever been in pain doing a 5K afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe it would go away, and it hadn't. So I went to the doctor. He did x-rays on his feet, and nothing's broken, but he wants to make sure.
Let me give you some comfort. The fact that you feel pain is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's a good
thing,
you know.
It's because
I disagree.
I'm talking from experience, okay? I don't want to get in too deep because I don't want to gross you all out.
I'm 53 years old, y'all, and I have a fucking – it's official. I'm an athlete. I got a sports injury.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
There you go.
I never thought I would ever do anything.
Give that lady a medal.
I have nine motherfucking medals from 9 5Ks. How many people are going to say that they've done 9 5Ks since July? Okay.
That's 45.
Oh my God, the cowbell is going crazy.
That's 45,000 kilometers, if my ciphering is correct.
You are an athlete.
You know, I'm an athlete, my feet don't hurt as badly as they were hurting as of, you know. So I've been soaking my feet. I've still been swimming. I've been on the bike, so I'm still able. And you know what? I thank God that this didn't happen when I started this back in June and July. Because, see, had it happened when I first started this, I would have given up. I would have said, fuck this shit. I'm not doing anymore. But now that this happened so far, 7 months in, I'm like, I know there's other things that I can do in place of running. So that's the good thing.
It didn't hurt and your foot was deteriorating, that's a problem. That's right. A real problem.
Yeah, because,
so.
Exactly. Because
that's gangrene.
If there was something, if I hurt myself, I caught it, that it can be repaired. Exactly. So, these things, pain is a good indicator that
it is.
I did something that can be repaired. Yes. And like I said, my doctor's like, hey, you're still walking. And like as of today, I can walk. I'm almost walking normal. And that's with some ibuprofen and with soaking. I haven't had a steroid shot. And hopefully I'll be fine, because I did, of course, Jen and I are going to Vegas next weekend. And of course, Tracy found a 5K in Vegas.
That's why you're a motivational speaker.
That's awesome.
I don't want to hang out with you. You run my track, man.
It's very hard to keep a good woman down, I tell you, Tracy.
Those words you dread to hear. Let's go for a run. What?
How about just a mile walk?
And not only 5K, but it's a pride 5K yet. It's a bunch of homosexuals running around. So apparently,
is there going to be an earthquake in Vegas that weekend by chance?
Yes, yes. So
yeah, are you guys going to cause an earthquake?
apparently for the last 13 years, yeah, Martin Luther King girl. Weekend, they have it's called the Sin City Invitational, and it's this huge gay weekend of sports weekend of they have it's softball, baseball, bowling, this whole sports weekend of gay motherfuckers running around Vegas being gay and being athletes. And so it's this. And so they have this weekend, next weekend rather, is the Pride Run, and it's the 5K and the 10K. And just so happens it's that weekend, so I'm doing the 5K. And of course, you know, it's gonna be fucking fabulous because it's gay people and well, gay men running it. So
oh my god, that's
I am so I'm so fucking excited.
Sorry.
So even if I can't run it, because if my doctor's, you know, I might just have to walk the whole thing, which is fine. I don't care. I mean, it's like, you know,
good.
I'm just, you know, again, I could not, back in June of last year, fuck, I couldn't walk a half a block. And now I'm signed up for a triathlon. I can.
That is amazing, crazy.
I can swim. Well, barely still. I'm still terrified of the fucking water. I'm not going to lie.
Live off that fear, baby. Kick it.
Hey, I got some good news to announce.
All right. Great news. What, Bob?
Thank you to Louie. Thanks to Louie and thanks to Brendan. Thanks to Louie and thanks to Brendan. That takes the goal down to $30 to go to meet Darlene's challenge.
Out freaking standing.
Just $30 bucks. $30 in the next 15 minutes or so, and we will have met Darlene's Fuck Trump challenge. So fuck Trump. And that's fuck Trump on behalf of Louie and a fuck Trump on behalf of Brendan. Thank you both very, very much.
Outstanding.
Yay. No, I like I said, you know another thing that motivates me, you guys, is you guys.
For being such an inspiration, thank you.
Hey, Tracy.
You guys help me. You guys help me.
Tracy.
Because a lot of times, yes, who's calling me? Yes.
Me, Sparky.
Hey, Sparky. Hey,
are you going to be drive by or go by the, they're calling it the Black Death Star in the desert there, the new Raiders stadium?
Oh, yes. It's right across. As a matter of fact, we drive right past it right before we get off the freeway to get to our hotel.
It's getting pretty well wrapped all around with glass now. It's all tinted.
It's beautiful. That thing is going to be amazing. It's going to be a tough fuck.
Is it a dome stadium?
It's almost done.
Kind of.
Well, is it a dome? Is it a covered stadium?
It'll be done this summer.
No, he's saying, is it a domed stadium?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know what the roof is going to be like yet, but it's open
I would
end.
Think, on, I would think it would,
it's got doors on one end that open up.
Just to get the little desert breeze through there?
Yeah,
and it's cool in Vegas.
It's hot as hell in Vegas.
Wouldn't you think it would be a dome stadium because it's hotter than a motherfucker in Vegas?
Yeah,
every fucking day.
The pictures I've seen of it, I can't figure out what kind of roof it's going to be. Is it going to be some kind of glass or something?
Yeah, it's probably like the Cowboys Stadium, I imagine.
Retractable.
Yeah.
I don't know about that because it's got the one end that opens up on it. I know that.
I wonder which is going to be sharper. Our stadium that they're finishing up, the SoFi Stadium, the SoFi, is it SoFi or SoFi or whatever?
SoFi, I think.
They're both going to be sitting in fancy. You won't be able to stand them.
They won't be able to afford the tickets either to watch the games there.
No, but the concerts, Rick.
That's possible. That's true.
The concerts are going to be amazing.
Maybe pool tournaments as well. I could go for that. I've got one coming up this weekend, actually. Two of my teams play. I have the
I advanced to the we got a first round bye, so we're going to be playing on Saturday night, like at 7 o'clock, what I call the gold medal round. You know, all we have to do is win one match, and we win like $1,600 as a team, and then on Sunday morning, that's my 9-ball team, and then Sunday morning my 8-ball team plays at like 9 a.m. our first match, and if we win that match, we play next like at maybe, I think, like 7 o'clock on Sunday night. So I'm hoping to be there very late. And I'm staying overnight at Holiday Inn in, I guess, Simi Valley. So it's going to be fun. I'm shooting better than ever. Looking forward to it.
I'm going to have to come out one day and watch you play.
This is so inspiring.
It's at a place called Viateras, Tracy. Up in Moore Park, actually, is where the tournament
is. This tomorrow, Sunday morning at 9, what time?
Saturday night, like at 7. And then Sunday morning at 9.
Freeway.
Joe, are you coming?
I'll be out there in February.
Oh, I know.
Hey, more good news as we move toward the top of the hour. Texas T just jumped in. And so we've only got $10 to go to meet Darlene's challenge. Fuck Trump on behalf of Texas T.
We appreciate that, Texas T.
And if we can meet Darlene's challenge and then do another 10, that'll make it an even $400 hole when I get back a week from Monday or however it works out. Thank you, Texas T. Thank you. Thanks a ton. Lady B says, congrats to Tracy. You're doing amazing, sister girl. It's never too late to start living your life on your own terms. You weigh the same as me now, but I'm 5'10", so I wear it a little better than most, but you're amazing. It's in your hips and the way you talk, phenomenal woman. Stay on the good foot. Signed, Lady, I feel good, B. That's awesome. And, of course, Skype just crashed again. Smack dab in the middle of, oh, God. Well, you know, at least while I'm not on the air for a week, that gives me a chance to go through and try to clean up this laptop and find out why it's behaving so piggishly. Jesus, this has been just a nightmare. This program, this started a couple of days ago. I don't particularly know why. Come on. Boot up, you little bastard. And see, I can't stop the stream. I can't stop this because then I have to stop sending to the stream and it turns into a complete and utter freaking nightmare. Hey, thanks to Sailor Chick. We are now down to $395. Because Darlene's challenge has been met, and Sailor Chick just took us down below the $400 mark. So $395 when we get back, I guess, is what the fundraising hole is going to be. And Skype is being a complete jerk. Let me see here. What's that? Got a note from coming in from Shorty in LA. Shorty, fuck Trump and about to play. Nervous Schmervis. It's all a great sign that I'm a hillbilly with you in this play. Yeah, about this play, Jitters Schmitters, worried Schmurried, nervous Schmervis. It's all a great sign that you're ready. Thanks, Shorty. I appreciate the confidence of the community. You have no idea how much I do. Here we go. Well, let's see if we can get back into it. Okay. All right, so I'm back now.
And I made a chocolate rum cake.
All right, change the subject.
Tracy's talking gumbo, Bob. Please stop her.
Oh, the gumbo! Oh,
chocolate rum cake, and it was just like, you know what? I'm not going to deprive myself. I'm going to eat what I want to eat, And the only reason why, because I gained weight over the holidays, I'm not gonna lie. I just fuck it. I'm just gonna eat, you know.
You kicked your points to the curb.
I said fuck my points. I said fuck it. I don't care. The holidays. I suffer from, you know, severe depression, and seasonal depression kicks my ass. So I'm like, I didn't exercise as much as I usually do. And I ate, and I'm not gonna lie, you know. But I got back on. I still did what I got back on the horse per se, and I just, you know. But I'm human, and I'm having. I have to learn, and what a lot of people need to learn is not to beat yourself up when you mess up or whatever. You're just like, okay, so I had cake, so I had gumbo, exactly. So I had whatever. And you just start all over. And that's, you know, we got to learn to forgive ourselves and love ourselves and just keep going. And especially
gumbo should be doable.
No, gumbo was doable. Exactly. Right. As a matter of fact, yeah. Gumbo, even with the roux and all that I made, mm-hmm. And let me tell you, because I
found... you don't have to tell me. I've seen pictures of it. Jesus.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful cake.
I was telling Karen about it, man. You had our mouths watering, you know.
Yeah, and you know what, Steve? That's the first time I've ever made a chocolate cake from scratch. It was a chocolate rum cake with eggnog frosting.
Oh my god!
I wish I lived in California.
I'm tearing up.
No, stop it.
I don't care, but that motherfucker was good. God damn, it was good. Oh my god.
Well, the last time that Skype crashed on me, I was in the middle of announcing good news. We're down to 395, thanks to Sailor Chick. Darlene, your challenge Your challenge has been met, and yes, that includes yours, Tracy. So thanks to Tracy and Louie and Brendan and Sailor Chick, that wipes out Darlene's challenge. Thank you, Steve, for getting us started.
All right.
That takes a great weight off my mind, and I don't know, maybe in the coming day, a few days or whatever, when the overnight crew hears this, we'll wipe out the other 395. But it is time for me to get out of here because I'm due in a very few minutes at the theater. And thank you again for all the confidence. It goes a long way because this has gotten very real in a very big hurry.
Gonna miss you.
Yeah, we love you, Bob.
Thanks for the break a leg, John Bredevo. Thank you very kindly to all of you. I'm gonna miss y'all too. You have no idea. I'll be checking in. Hopefully there will be something in the, you know, I can hopefully post some updates or something like that. Before I go, I never heard from Scott joined the call, or not Scott, but Todd in South Carolina joined the call, and I never heard a word from him. Are you there, Todd?
No, he dropped out.
I thought I heard him too, but I wasn't sure, man. That's
he did. No, Washington Journal, buddy. He was commenting on me. He said a couple of things, and congratulated
I thought
me
that
on my
was
way life.
Yeah. And so I've got somebody on the stress line. Let's see who that is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Randy from PA. My internet is out. Can I just listen?
You could, Randy, except I'm wrapping up now and getting ready to head to the theater.
Okay. All right. Bye bye.
All right. See you, Randy. Later. Oh, Randy's internet's out. Ugh. Well. Come this time tomorrow, hopefully we'll still have utilities here.
Yeah, who knows, Bob? It's headed our way.
Yeah, it's time to
about booking a hotel room right now.
Only if it's got something underground.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, I've got an EMC, and then there's Georgia Power right down the road. They never go out, so the tourist town never goes out, but here in the hills and the sticks, you know how it is.
Oh, I know. They run the power lines up home through on toothpicks through the forest.
Exactly.
And they won't let
that tourist money run dry. No, they're always got power, man.
Right, sure. So, And these guys, are pretty good.
Steve. I know, Duncan. I know. God damn it.
So it's time for me to get out of here.
Duncan, we going to hang on?
Or? Yeah, the conversation can certainly continue without me if y'all want to.
Okay.
All right. So thanks everybody, and thanks to all of you who took down the fundraising goal. Some that leaves us with Thursday. Well, $195 of Thursday and $200 of today to finish with. Thank you so much. That is a tremendous weight off my mind because I still have bills to pay up in, you know, almost level West by Cold Trump Genius, Stan. Thank you very kindly. Tight lines, Bob, says Darlene, and the break of legs are rolling in. I appreciate it all so very much. Have a wonderful weekend, and like I said, I'll try to report back and let y'all know how it's all going. Thanks to all of you who keep this on the air. Thanks to each and every one of you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging with the program, whatever way you so choose. Indeed, thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you for HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend. Have a wonderful week. And if nothing, I'll be back on the 20th, if not before. Later.